Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and exploration. Join me, your host, Sam Harris, as I discover how mindset can help you do incredible things through my conversations with the world's most interesting people, from tech billionaires to leading scientists, best-selling authors to notorious hackers. The goal is to increase our collective wisdom and attitudes to make us all happier and healthier, wiser and wealthier. Who doesn't want that? On the podcast today, we have Kat Wozniak. She is a Polish entrepreneur who started the travel business Curious Cats Adventure Club that she grew successfully over 5 years whilst traveling the world and living the pretty much ideal dream and just doing whatever she imagined before she then sold the company. She has now settled down from travel and moved into London, where she runs a marketing business to help companies with their social media and create engaging video content. She had no experience at all in business when she started her first company and shows a real growth mindset in her attitude to learn to deal with the problems she faced, which gives some great lessons that we can all learn from. Hi Kat, welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast.
Hi Sam, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great for me to be in your house recording. Thanks for having me, I guess. Yeah, so I'm invited you to be on the podcast because I first got to know you a few years ago because you were running a holiday adventure company and I was kind of doing some similar things. And you're now doing a marketing business and I'm now doing a marketing business. So it's quite funny how we've been doing similar sort of stuff. And
it all comes down to marketing.
Yeah, eventually. All these dreams that people have when they're younger and you're always like, oh, you'll just end up in marketing. And turns out it's true.
Marketing and sales, that's
all
the business.
Turns out it's also really cool. Marketing's great. So important. But yes, so I wanted to talk to you about the fact that you ran this travel company and actually a lot of how you drove growth to be able to have this awesome company where you were just being paid to go travel the world and have fun, which sounds amazing. I'm sure a lot of my listeners would love to do something like that.
That was a fantastic experience, I have to admit.
Yeah. So I guess I wanted to just find out a bit more about that and how you grew it.
Yes, so I fell into it. I wasn't thinking about starting a business. I just wanted to travel and I just wanted to make it happen. I realized that we get stuck in the 9-to-5 jobs that we might like, we might be good at them, but we don't necessarily love them. And this is what our life looks like. And I wanted to do something different. So I started doing it a little bit outside of work. And then a year later, I realized I had huge following. People wanted to travel with me. The trips were selling. And there was no reason for me not to take the risk and not to quit my job. Would have been stupid not to do it.
Okay, but it sounds a bit like you said you started traveling, but you actually started traveling and selling the thing that you were doing at the same time?
Absolutely. I started organizing the trips and I used social media to sell them. So it was literally just a digital business in that sense. We didn't have any office or any salespeople. We didn't invest in any other forms of marketing. Yeah. It was pretty much all social media and other digital platforms.
Cool. Did you initially use your friends a lot to come with you, or was it always just straight up like people from the public?
It was a mixture with friends. Some of them wanted to travel, but I think the reason I started doing it is that not all my friends wanted to travel. So it's not as easy to organize things with friends. And I think at one point I tried to organize things with friends and realized it was just taking so much time and it was getting nowhere. And
yes.
And then I thought, okay, fine, I'm just gonna do it anyway.
Nice. That's exactly the same problem that I had. It's like I had like quite a lot of time to go traveling and do things, but trying to organize it with my friends to do the exact same things at the same time was
exactly
a massive ball ache. Whereas if I could say, well, I'm able to go to Morocco in this month to go kite surfing.
Yeah.
Anyone can come with me. I'm just gonna book like a villa and that's the price, share the cost, and hopefully it'll end up free for me. And then it kind of worked.
I think it was easier in my 20s. I had loads of, I organized things with friends a lot. But then suddenly in their 30s, people just start having other things. Like some started families, some have high profile jobs, and they just don't have time for those things anymore.
So how did you publicize it then? So you said social media.
It was mainly social media. And one of the growth hacks that we use that I didn't even realize that I was, I mean, I knew I was doing it, but I didn't think about it consciously. This is kind of the strategy to start with, but I was taking videos on all the trip. I really enjoyed taking photos and videos of all the experiences. I just thought it was a nice thing for people to have and to share. Like, I used to like sharing my holiday videos or photos, and people loved it. And I think this was what helped us grow so quickly, because we were doubling our turnover every year in the first 3 years.
It just went
like zoom. I turned around and was like, oh wow, I've got a travel business. But I think that was it. It kind of, the videos allowed people to see what the events were really like, to show people that were there, what kind of time they had. It was just this, they could see the experience.
It's very easy to refer people when there's a video. And if you've been on the tour and like it's a fun thing, you can share it on your social media and say, hey guys, this is what I did. Come along next year because I'm going. And that way, the fact that we were just talking about the problem of trying to organize a trip with your friends, it's quite easy to get them to buy into coming to on a trip with you if you're going on something like that.
True.
And it's in it.
It's less commitment.
Yeah. It's nice.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's cool. And then from that, you then got tired of running this amazing, lovely business because of you were traveling the whole time permanently and thought maybe you wanted to do.
I know, it sounds insane. But after 6 years of living out of the suitcase, I was like, that's it, I can't do it anymore.
That sounds quite like a sane thing to think, actually.
Yeah. Well, you meet so many people and it's great. I've made many friends, but at one point it just becomes this one sea of people and they all blend and you have no idea who you met. It's like, imagine, sometimes I was meeting 100, 200 people every week. It's just impossible to make proper memories.
Yeah, it's quite hard, especially when you meet lots of people who are really similar to other people you know, and it starts feeling really ununique when you're like, oh, I've got this amazing friend, but actually there's like five people just like them, and it's sort of...
maybe not the really amazing horrible. Friends, but...
I used to hate that when I moved into London. I'd see people that look just like people they already knew, and then like it just stopped. I felt like I was just like one of like a billion people as opposed to...
Wow.
These are people who are different. That's something that got me depressed, but maybe this is not a problem that you had. But it does sound super hard just trying to keep track of these things and having the same like superficialish conversation
where you just find out what they do. And that was killing me, just having the same conversation over and over again. It's like you become a little robot, a little bit on the autopilot, and you just keep saying the same thing over and over again, and it goes nowhere. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, it sounds awful. But certainly fun to start off with and do things.
I've done everything that I wanted to do, and some of the people I've met, I'm friends with. Well, one of them getting married to in October.
It's perfect. And you grew a great business, and then you're able to sell it. So
absolutely,
definitely, nothing was lost at all.
No, okay. The learning from it was amazing, and this is how I could start my current business. I mean, this is. This was my learning experience. This was kind of my university where I learned how to do marketing. And when I talk to clients now, I can tell them, actually, you know, I'm not just telling you how to do it because I read it somewhere online. I've done it.
Cool. So from that, what would you say were your three best hacks for marketing success that you've been using?
I think making it relevant, making it personal, and using video. So making it relevant, you always have to start with your target audience. You have to think about who it is that you are trying to reach and what it is they would be interested in. Mm-hmm. By making personal, I mean that business owner, like every business owner, is the most valuable asset to their business because it's them who had the idea, it's them who are passionate about it, it's them who drove things to the level that, you know, the business actually exists, right? So it is personal to them. And it is getting them to talk about this experience. This is going to help them get customers, drive sales, build the trust and all that. And this brings me to video, because video is kind of the best way to allow it to come across.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the way that the business owners can scale up his kind of offline conversations and build this trust with a larger number of people.
It is really hard to get people to really build like an emotional connection sometimes. And
absolutely.
Video is a really good way to hook people a bit more and get to feel like they know you a bit better.
Yeah,
and
it's all about the trust. People buy from people. And
Kind it of puts a real face to it and stuff. Cool. Yeah, it's super useful that you're helping people with video. Okay, and then the three biggest mistakes that people make?
The biggest mistakes, I think, is spamming advertising and focusing on the wrong metrics.
Okay.
So by spamming, I mean, you know, we all know what spamming is. So just sending things that
are irrelevant,
generic, and kind of, you know, in large volumes, because that's how people switch off. Same with advertising. So if on your social media feed, all you can say is ads, people will tune out. I mean, we'll all know that when you're watching a TV program and suddenly ads come on, you just go and make a cup of tea or switch the channel or, you know, do something else.
So if every one of your posts is like, buy this product from us, buy this product, it's never going to work. So you need to have like...
Absolutely.
I think there's a ratio of like 4 educational pieces to...
It's
20-80,
actually.
20-80.
It's 20%. Yes. Well, actually, I don't know what
I was going to say to one like piece of relevant, something they can go and buy. So that is exactly 80-20.
Yeah,
good.
Fair enough. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
It's fine. No worries. I'm kind of interrupting your explanation anyway, so you can go back to the final mistake.
That's okay. So that's where I was going with advertising. You kind of want to make sure that it's the same like with your offline conversations. You don't go into the room, you don't go networking and stand there and shout, buy from me, I've got, you know, best potatoes, potatoes are the cheapest. You go and talk to people, and then from the conversation, some collaboration might be born. Don't just ask people to buy from you. And my final one was focusing on the wrong metrics, which is something that you spoke about earlier in the video, where people just focus on the number of followers. Instead of on actual engagement. So the way the social media channels are built, their algorithm are built, they kind of look at the ratio of the number of followers you've got to your engagement. So if you've got loads of followers because bots or, you know, paid somebody to get more following, but those followers don't actually engage with your posts, your ranking will drop because they will see your posts as irrelevant. Because the ratio is so low, it means that even though loads of people looks at it, nobody actually is interested in what you are doing. So they want to show relevant content to their audience. So that's one of the biggest mistakes.
Cool, yeah. That's really useful. Thanks. What would you say is your favorite marketing campaign ever?
Well, I really love one of the marketing campaigns by Apple. So they've got the MacBook Air, which is a really thin laptop. And it might not even be the thinnest laptop in the world anymore. But the way they advertised it, they had this video with the laptop and with an envelope. And they literally just put the laptop into the envelope. And the image they create in your head that it's so thin, it's almost as thin as a piece of paper, it just stays with you. And this is the power of video. This is just like, and this is the most beautiful video I've seen in terms of marketing. It's like a masterpiece. Cool. I really love it.
Yeah, you can definitely sort of visualize.
Yeah, you can put it in an envelope. Yeah, what's thinner than that? Piece of paper.
Ah, that's so cool. What advice would you give to yourself 5 years ago?
Basically, don't change a thing. I mean, I'm not saying I haven't made any mistakes. I'm not saying that, you know, everything I've done was perfect or I achieved everything I've ever wanted. But I'm really happy with where I am. And every experience, it's about what you take out of it and how you turn it into a learning experience. And it kind of takes you to where you are. And I'm just really, really happy with the time now. So I think I would just kind of want to go through the same mistakes again if they took me where I am now.
Okay, that's a lovely answer, but it doesn't help me very much. So let's say I was in a similar position to you 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give me to help me get to where you now are?
Okay, so I think something you mentioned earlier as well is something that I've always lived by. You just kind of, you have to do things. And see where they take you. You can't overthink stuff. So, you know, part of me, at some point I was regretting that I kind of didn't learn more about business before starting Curious Cats Adventure Club. Maybe I could have grown it bigger. Maybe I could have, you know, done things differently. Maybe it would be the largest travel company now. But honestly, if I sat there and read books, I would have never really started. And starting now would have been much more difficult because the market is much more saturated. It's much more difficult to compete. So I started at a very good time. If anything, I should have started earlier. So I think it's just like the piece of advice that I would give to anyone else is follow your dreams, do what you want to do, and just figure out how to make it happen as you go along. At one of the events I went to, Inspiring Entrepreneurs, I don't remember who it was, but they said that running your own business was like jumping out of the plane and learning how to open the parachute on the way down. This is so true. This is the only way to do it. Yes, you can go and do your MBA. Yes, you can do your other things, but are not always on that path. And it's not easy to just kind of go back and do that instead. And you just never get started.
Yeah, you need to learn to be like comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm. Like I've had some friends that have just asked me so many questions to the point of like, okay, you can't know everything before you start anyway. And you kind of just need to do it and learn to answer questions yourself sometimes. You need to be comfortable not knowing what's going to happen.
True.
If you always need someone to tell you exactly what's going to happen, you're never going to be able to drive it by yourself.
Then you should have a job if you
exactly.
tell you what to happen.
Okay, what is your favorite book or the best book that someone should read?
One book that I would recommend to everybody is The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. So I had a mentor when I first started my business. I was really lucky that the director of the company I worked at last offered to mentor me for my business. Oh. And that was the first book that he made me to read. It was about a year into when I was running my business. I was running around like a hamster on the wheel. I just kind of thought that the more I do, the better things will get. I didn't think about scaling up. I didn't think about, you know, making myself redundant and having other people do things so that I can actually focus on growing the business. I kept doing more and more. And at some point, it was just becoming infeasible. And this is the book I read, and I realized that I need to look at things from a different perspective if I actually want to scale it up and do more of that. And it was a turning point for me. But I started without any business experience, so it might be more obvious for other people.
Oh, it's such a good book, though. Even if you were thinking about going into business, it's really good. Mm. But if you're just starting out or something, it's just can solve so many of your problems.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think so.
One of my favorites, for sure. And what is your favorite quote?
There is one by a Polish writer. I don't remember the writer's name, but it really stuck with me since I was a teenager. And the rough translation is that it's better to sin and regret it later than regret never having sinned. More recently, one that I've been implementing more and more, it's Eleanor Roosevelt, and it's do one thing a day that scares you. So kind of trying to do things that I don't necessarily like doing or I'm afraid of doing.
Yeah,
I mean, I was terrified of video and I just started doing video interviews and stuff because you have to learn those things. You have to get
better. Definitely. That's a really good example.
Yeah.
Like we spoke about, get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And that's huge. But I would love to just backtrack to that first quote and dive into that a bit more. So what are some of the sins that you've made yourself go and do? Stories from that.
I've always lived by that rule. I just kind of, I wanted to do things, I wanted to try things, I wanted to experience things. I was never afraid to experiment with stuff. And, you know, I would have never started my own business if I didn't think this way, because I would always worry about what might happen.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, kind of nicely avoided, right?
Yeah. Transition over that. Nice. Perfect.
Brilliant.
It's a wrap. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
So that's the end of the interview. This podcast was originally recorded for my new podcast, Marketing Mindset, but it has a lot of content that I thought was really relevant for this podcast. So I'm releasing it here as well, because I think it's pretty inspiring to build a business out of wanting to just travel the world, and then going and doing it successfully when you've had zero experience in ever doing something like that. I think her attitude to starting the business was a perfect growth mindset, because she says that she would have loved to have known more about business, but had she put things off to do them all perfectly and read all the books to learn how to run a business, she probably would have never actually done it. So it's really important to just focus on doing stuff, even if it does scare you, and when it does, then probably that's even better. And if you get it wrong, it means that you're learning. Note that she didn't pay some guru like Gary Vee to turn her into a millionaire or something. She just did stuff, and the point is that if you need someone to tell you what to do, then you're probably never going to do it. And on that note, if you've got a big dream that you haven't been working on, today is just as good a day to start as any other. So go nail your dreams, people. You've just listened to an episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your preferred app and give me a good rating, as these go a really long way. If you are unable to give good feedback right now, try sharing the show with a friend who will, or just wait for the show to improve. If you have any ideas for the show or you just want to chat, then please reach out to me on Twitter at SamHarrisTweets or Instagram at SamJamSnaps. Show notes and other links to topics discussed in the episodes are available at the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Give yourself a big hug from me. If you're with a friend, give them a hug as well. And I hope you enjoy your next podcast.
I just wanted to travel and I just wanted to make it happen. And sorry.
That was yours.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Do we start over?
Oh, it'll just edit out.
But also, like, it's... Sorry, I need to just cut that bit out.
Okay.
I forgot what I was going to say. I just kind of...
Mind blank.
Nice. Yeah. It was something I wanted to say, and then suddenly it just kind of disappeared. Sorry.
It's okay.